Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Happy Flashback Friday, everybody.
Whoosh, flashback. Now, we promise this isn't 2 weeks old. We will be back on Thursdays, but here we are on Friday. I don't know, Rob. What's a Thursday?
This week was my issue. I'm so sorry. This week I dropped the ball.
No dropping. You're fine.
I had things to do. I had marks to make. I had steps to climb. It's the perfect time. I go out my door. I bump into you, and the vow is up, and the jig is through. I don't know what I'm doing, but come in and ruin me. What song?
There you go.
Rob. Anyone know?
It's the last 5 years, of course.
It is. It's the song "I Could Be in Love with Someone Like You," which
was cut actually because he got in trouble for making it a little too personal, and his ex-wife was like, "Excuse me, Jason, this is our story."
And so he was like, "I will write Shiksa Goddess."
Right. Instead of a composer, I'll make him a writer.
Now, I will say that both if you've never heard "I Could Be in Love with Someone Like You," it's on Apple Music.
It's great. I play it and sing it. It's a fun, fun, fun song.
You're a genius, Jason Robert Brown. I know you were waiting a long time for me to tell you that, so there you go.
Yeah, he really needed it. He needed that information.
He can sleep.
He didn't know, but now he does.
You can sleep well tonight, Jason.
There you go, JRB. There you go, my friend.
This weekend, I got to see Mr. Kevin David Thomas music direct a show at the New York Film Academy. Boy, it was exciting to see a live performance. It was outdoors. The backdrop was the East River. In this beautiful amphitheater that used to, Joe Papp used to do shows at.
Yeah, the East River Amphitheater. That's right. If you look it up, in the 60s and 70s, I believe, they would do, I think he did some Shakespeare, maybe some Greek tragedy. And you, when you go to that theater, I mean, you saw the space, Rob, it seats a lot of people. I mean, it's huge. I think it's unfortunate that I don't think it gets used as much as it used to. Although having said that a couple of times, I've heard other teachers and colleagues say, "Oh no, I did like a summer weekend there once." You know, I think what you do is you get a permit, like we did. You get the permit for the day, and then you can rent. But it was being used constantly.
Wow.
That we were rehearsing there, first come, first serve, with AA meetings and a drum circle was there. But
you'll see me at all of those things. By the way, I'll be in.
The drum circle. You should see Rob play a bass drum. There's nothing like it.
It was a really, really beautiful show. And it covered a lot of things that, you know, covering this time period is very, very hard artistically, especially while you're in the middle of it. There really is no time to stand back and reflect.
That's right.
And I think that's what makes this show even more interesting, is that it's being written in the middle of this pandemic, and we still don't know what the outcome of it is going to be. So kudos to absolutely everybody. The director, Travis Geisler, did a really, really wonderful job of putting all of this together, especially in an outdoor element. It was freezing out there, but the warmth of the show just like washed over you, and you didn't really even realize how cold it is. So when it streams, please, we'll send out a link to everybody.
We'll make sure we notify you. Yeah.
Now, I'm going to do a shameless plug. Broadway World Awards got announced a couple of days ago, folks. And you know me, I'm not really into awards. I don't know how you can artistically, judge people based on their content. But I'm nominated. And as you know, folks, the way that this award is selected, this very prestigious award, is you have to have multiple email accounts to vote. So you need to. So I was nominated, folks, for Best Director in Cabaret of the Decade. of the decade. The way that, they're doing this award is it's the whole decade. So you could nominate things from like 2011. So me, and I think it's a couple of the old favorites. As I see Barry Kleinbort's on the list. And
I was, Faith, it's like you took the words out Faith of my Prince mouth, Rob.
Anyway, if you are so inclined to vote, you can Google, we'll put a link up, I'm sure as well, but Broadway World Cabaret Awards, Best Director.
We're going to campaign. This is going to be a campaign. Friends, we can do this. We can get Rob to win. We can do this. We're going to be competing against those Mac people, because you know that there's a whole network of those all eight of those cabaret people, and we are going to show them. We're going to turn out the vote. Vote for Rob W. Schneider.
And if I lose, which is a mistake, I'll ask for a recount. It's very easy. They're liars.
First only time we'll have Trump as a guest on this show. Thank you very much.
He's competing for that cabaret award.
Got to get that. You got to make sure that all those votes got to count. Make sure no fake votes.
What if I send in like Rudy Giuliani to defend me just when I lose to Barry Kleinbort?
Streaks down the sides of his face. Oh boy. Well, I'm excited for you, Rob. That's really cool. I mean, that's really really wonderful. And you, boy, you've done enough producing and directing in the last couple years. That you know, it probably feels like 10.
It was a very nice honor. So, but folks, honestly, the way you can vote for this is you just
as many times as you can.
As long as you have multiple email accounts, you can just sign up and vote for me a few times if you want. This is the only time,
like every day,
and create different email addresses. Anyway, we'll post a link. But it was an honor. Just because so many of our former guests were in part of the shows that I was nominated for, so it was really, really lovely. So thank you all. Whoever nominated me, thank you so much for the nomination. It was very sweet.
I'm so excited, and we are definitely going to turn out the vote. I want to give a little shout out to a good friend of ours of the podcast. He's hosting a new podcast himself, David Brush, who's a writer that we've worked with before. And there's a network called the 10 Glow. That's the number 10, GLO. If you go to this, if you go to 10glo.com, it's actually a social networking place for theater artists to post videos and to share their work and to network. And you might check that website out. But David, we'll want to give a shout out to him, he's hosting a new podcast where they'll be interviewing up and coming writers and giving them a platform for their work and talking about new work. So if new work is something that excites you and you want to, you should explore this website, 10glo.com, and check out this new podcast. We'll post, there's a promotional a sound clip we have that we're going to post on our social media, but just want to get the word out there. We love sharing new podcasts and sharing new ideas. So check that out. That's 10glo.com.
So you have a lot of stuff to do. And not only that, but we're throwing on a couple of other things for you, which is some favorite things.
Trivia. We should just mention trivia because folks, spoiler alert, we're not going to do trivia this Saturday. It's not going to happen. We're going to do it next Saturday.
Folks, please forgive me. I will
in honor of Thanksgiving. It'll be a Thanksgiving trivia. You know, 1950s Thanksgiving style.
It just slipped my mind creating 300 email accounts to vote for myself for Broadway World, and I kind of forgot. And so, folks, yes, Kevin is absolutely correct. The Saturday after Thanksgiving, we'll do it then. We'll do it then, and we'll all have something to be very thankful for, which is we'll all get to see each other. So I'm sorry, there is no trivia.
No, it's great. We need the time to get the word out there anyway. So we've got a week to get everyone excited and to get the ball rolling. So we really look forward to seeing you all for our trivia night.
Anyway, so folks, we have a lot of fun stuff coming up, but you also have to do our favorite things as well.
Let's otherwise, do it.
How are you going to complete your Broadway Behind the Curtain education?
I know, and this one's a good one. I'm really excited about this one.
What's yours? Who wants to go first?
I'll go first, Will, because mine's super fast. You'll know exactly what it is. I can't believe we've never discussed this before, but I think it's because this video is actually kind of hard to get. It's hard to get the complete video. You can see clips of this concert. It's a concert we're going to talk about. You can see clips of the concert on YouTube, but I'm a completist. I wanted to watch the whole thing from beginning to end, so I had to go on the old Reddit and find it sort of illegally, because there's a whole Reddit world. Reddit's like where you can trades. It's hard to describe what Reddit is if you don't know what it is, but it's a website where you can sort of get things that maybe like cast albums and stuff that perhaps is not as legal as it could be. And there's a thread that they have professionally filmed theatrical events. And so that's where I found this. And I get this from your great friend, Becky Spiegelman. This has been on my list of ever since she watched it, and she had the VHS that she popped in, and so she did a whole story one day, and I was living, and if Becky, if you're listening to this, I was, and I texted her actually the other day, because I was like, "I thanks to you, it's been 6 months, but now it's finally got to it, and this is Hey, Mr. Producer." Do you remember this concert?
Yes! Yes! Oh my gosh!
It was 1998, so this concert for people my generation, I was 18 when this came out. This was the most impressionable years. This concert was everything to me and to people that are our generation. The concert was, of course, a celebration of the works of Cameron McIntosh and all that he had sort of dealt with and been a part of and produced over the years. It opens and closes, speaking of our favorite things from last week or week before, it opens and closes with the musical that started it all for Cameron McIntosh, which is Salad Days. And it starts with them singing a little song, and then the end of it is very heartfelt that he sings this, like, one of the more popular songs from the show. It's very, very sweet, and the whole idea is it's young Cameron who goes along his journey of his music. And much can be said about Cameron McIntosh, the businessman, the impresario, but this is a man who just loves theater. Like, you just get the sense that this is a kid who just grew up just loving it so much. But a couple things I want to point out from this concert, which is just the who's who of musical theater, of American musical theater, of British musical theater. The fact that they could get all these people, Stephen Sondheim, Tom Lehrer, sing a song after 25 years of not being public. He sings a song, you know, because it's Cameron McIntosh. And Cameron McIntosh asks, people say yes. A couple things to note in this. First of all, the orchestrations are amazing. The Queen is there. I mean, this is a top-notch event. Jonathan Pryce his song from the song from My Fair Lady, I've Grown Accustomed to Her Face, is like a masterclass on acting. It is just so superbly performed. And this is a song out of context, and yet he walks in with like urgency, and it's like heightened stake. All of the things we talk about in training and all that is he's delivering, and it's a spot on performance of Accustomed to Her Face, a masterclass. Julie Andrews is sort of like the host. You see. It's a little cheesy in certain parts, but that's what the concert's for. It's meant to be a celebration of all of these moments. There are certain things that you're like, what is going on? Ellen Green is certainly magical as Audrey. I will never understand or comprehend how her voice works, but it is definitely a fascinating study on that. Bernadette Peters sings Unexpected Song, and folks, I would like you to watch it because I want to know if the back phrasing in this version is accidental. Is the orchestra just going too fast and she's just trying to make it work? I'm telling you, it's like Robert Goulet on steroids. It's like, I've never felt like this. For once, I'm lost at words. Your smile is really throwing me. I mean, it is going by so fast. And I also think it's because she doesn't want to belt it. So the song is a tough song to sing. Listen to it. Check it out. She sounds fierce, but there's just something really interesting with the back phrasing. My question is it an accident or is it deliberate? We see a young Hugh Jackman, because this is before Oklahoma, you know, has transferred to Broadway and become the hit that it became at the National Theater. I'm sure it had just opened or was just about to. So we get a young Hugh Jackman singing, and you really can see where, you know, obviously there's something there. The guy's good. This is the performance of Judi Dench singing Send of the Clowns is the reason why I spent $120 on the cast album of the Royal National Theater album. Michael Ball singing Losing My Mind, which actually I didn't hate as much as I thought I would. And then the home stretch is the Sondheim and Andrew Lloyd Webber stuff. And who better than to start that off than to have Sondheim come out and to remember the video of Sondheim and Andrew Lloyd Webber singing Send in the Clowns, but it's Send in the Crowds. Sondheim retooled the lyric, and he and Lloyd Webber are sitting at a piano singing this parody of their song together, which is just funny and amazing and witty and not taking it too seriously. Bernadette singing Being Alive is just like awe-inspiring. And then Tom Lehrer, if you know Poisoning Pigeons in the Park in that era of songs, I recently caught on PBS like this black and white 1960s concert that he did like in a parlor hall. And I get why he's so special and funny. It has to be him singing these songs because he's just so witty with the play. But to watch him sing the, you know, his songs again all these years later was just, it was just absolutely incredible. And then of course you get the Cats, Les Mis, all of that stuff. You have Ruthie Henshaw and Lea Salonga and Philip Quast and all these great people singing the songs that they originally did. And because we're like only 10 years removed from when Les Mis opened and a couple years from when Miss Saigon opened. So it's all very fresh and all very excitable. So yeah, if for a good time, go check out, Hey, Mr. Producer, all the clips. Someone has been very nice and organized all of the clips in order on YouTube. Or if you want to go to Reddit and those places, you can download the actual concert. Because I looked, you can buy a DVD, I think, of it. But it's not easy to find. There's no other streaming places. And I wanted to just pay to have the stream, and there's no place for that. So you actually either buy the DVD or find the clips on YouTube, but it's worth it. It's fun. It's fluffy. It's good. And you get all kinds of different sound bites.
What year was this?
1998, I believe.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And you get the classic, Melissa Martin, Julie McKenzie, you know, some of their, you know, the grand dame of the London stage. And then of course you had the guests coming over from the American stage that are friendly to the London theater, but it's a great concert. That's all I can say. It's a fantastic concert. It's long. It's every number is a really solid and well produced and well acted. And I highly recommend it, checking it out.
And it has Ellen Green. What more could you want?
I mean, really, Ellen Green just, and everyone is acting their face off. No one is giving a concert performance. Everyone is giving you full stakes, full like full everything, beats everywhere.
I have an Ellen Green story.
Please share.
I'm going to share this. This is, I overheard this, folks. I can't discuss. Well, this is
allegedly the following happened.
Allegedly, I was in London, and I was talking to some theater managers, and they were telling a story about her that it was her agent or manager, it wasn't her apparently. She was doing a show, and they wanted her to cut one of her songs, she was a Rodgers and Hart song or something like that, and the manager was saying, you can't cut this. It's what she's known for. You can't cut this. It's what she's known for. And apparently the British impresario looked at the manager and said, no, love, she's not known for that. She's known for getting swallowed by a green piece of felt.
So British.
And I was just like, ooh, yeah, catty and sassy. Into perspective
right there.
And it's not true. She's a brilliant actress. She was in Rachel Lily Rosenblum, and don't you forget it. Okay,
that's right.
So mine is also 90s related, folks. 90s related. I have been looking forward to this for quite some time, and it finally got released a couple of days ago. If you remember, one of our previous guests, the great Michael Riedel, wrote a wonderful book in 2015 called Razzle Dazzle, The Battle for Broadway, which was about how the Schuberts and the Schoenfelds and the Niederlanders, how everybody was working on Broadway in the, you know, literally the book starts, I think, from the beginning of how Broadway is created.
The Schuberts. And it's a page turner. It is literally, I believe, a page turner.
Yes. It's such a great book. If you have not read it, it was a favorite thing. Michael came on to talk about it when I think about a year or so after the book had come out. If you have not read Razzle Dazzle, you need to. It is, I think, one of the best books written on Broadway ever. I can't even say like in the past 10 years, just great, ever. Great. One of the things is that we had been waiting for a sequel, and the sequel has finally come, folks. And it's called Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. And this book focuses on the 1990s. Michael could have gone all the way up to present day. He's chosen not to, which is great because it makes me feel like maybe there are more books to come. And it discusses the Broadway musical in the 1990s and theater in the 1990s. And we remember such juggernauts as like Rent and Chicago. And the first couple of chapters are on Sunset Boulevard. Get ready, folks. Get ready, because there's stuff about Sunset Boulevard I didn't even know. And Michael unearths all of it. The Rent chapter is really, really stunning and lovely. What's interesting about this book is unlike Razzle Dazzle, Michael is actually present for a majority of what's going on Broadway at this time and is shaping a lot of it through his column in the New York Post, if you remember
that. He was very connected to all the powers that be. I need to get this book. It's time, and I was so excited when it came out, and I just have not gotten around to it. So you've lit a fire under me, and I'm going to go on and go to my local bookseller and buy it.
And just to reiterate what you had said earlier about Michael's books, you know, yes, we have read lots of history books and lots of theater history books, and some are very some of the writing is really funny, but all the information is wrong, and some all the information is so accurate it's ridiculous, but it's dry as can be. It's a snooze fest. No name shall be mentioned. Michael's brilliance is being able to make history come alive and make history dramatic. Like you said with Razzle Dazzle, Razzle Dazzle is a page turner. Razzle Dazzle is something that you could easily adapt into a movie if you wanted to, if not a documentary, but a movie at least. Mm-hmm. And Singular Sensation follows in those footsteps. And now I think a lot of times, what I think Michael has done brilliantly that a lot of people forget is how transformative the 1990s were in terms of musical theater history. I think it's a decade that people tend to skip over. Mm-hmm. I think we remember it as, oh, that was Rent.
Right.
I think that's
Rent time happened there right at the end, didn't it? Yeah, that's right. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and then
9/11 happened, and then it's like, okay, well then they reset, you know.
And at that point you're out of the 90s.
That's
so
right.
what he does is he really makes a case for why the 90s was so transformative and how it laid the groundwork for all the revolutions that we're seeing today in musical theater. So you know, we also love Ethan Mordden's books, you know, where he covers decade by decade. But if you remember, Ethan chose not to do one on the 80s, 90s, or 2000s as separate books. He just lumped them all together, which is great. But it doesn't give us the detail and accuracy that Michael's book does in Singular Sensation. So I would encourage you. It's also a nice way of connecting back to Broadway and a nice way of connecting to the theater scene in this time when we don't have anything like this.
That's right. And you don't – and also I find them very accessible, that you don't have to be like – Broadway historian to read it either, where some books are very like rely on sort of a base knowledge. But I find that these books that Michael has written are really written for people that are fans of theater. That's Crawford, sorry. And fans of fans, but also maybe, you know, the average, you know, theater goer as well. Meaning average being like, you know, I know a little bit, but like not tons. I think that they're still great for that kind of reader as well.
It does, because he gives you context. He doesn't assume that you know. And I think that's a problem with a lot of theater history books. They assume you know. And not everybody does know. And, you know, there are generations who might know absolutely everything about Heathers, but they know nothing about Showboat. And there are some people that can tell you every cut song from Showboat and not have any idea who was in Waitress or what Waitress was even about. Michael does a really great job of making sure no matter what level you're at, there is something for you in there, and it's easy to understand. But it's really a testament to his incredible Walter Winchell-esque writing style. So my recommendation for this week, please purchase it, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway, written by the great former guest of ours. Hopefully, maybe we'll get him back another time to talk about this book, the great Michael Riedel.
Brilliant. Love it. And when you want to have a little palate cleanser and stop reading, go watch Hey, Mr. Producer, that old concert series from the 90s. It's a 90s love fest this week, friends.
It really is. What's your, you know, we've already done 90s for trivia, but what's your favorite 90s show?
Oh, man. I feel like we talked about this a couple weeks ago, and probably my answer will change. I love Ragtime.
Yeah.
I just love Ragtime. And of course, when I was a kid, I loved Miss Saigon. That was like amazing. I knew every word to that sort of pop opera. But Ragtime was huge. Ragtime was big for me.
I love that. I love that. Ragtime also. I'm going to also claim Ragtime.
And Rent. Rent I got into as I got a little older, but Ragtime at the time, that was huge for me. Yeah.
And can we throw the revival of Chicago in there?
Oh, why not?
Sure,
why
we'll throw not? That in. We'll throw that in there.
It's very 90s.
Ha-cha. Whoopee.
Oh, God.
The thing that changed Encores, when Encores was like, we're going to present older shows just for a couple of weekends, and then it was like, every show, we're going to try to transfer this to Broadway. And they're always like, oh, no, we don't do that. We don't do that. Meanwhile, what's their season? What, did you see what they just announced for their third show?
Into the Woods.
Yes, the neglected...
Into the Woods.
The neglected musical, folks. Into the Woods.
Twitter was a fire. Twitter was like, I mean, all eight people that have opinions about this.
Between
we were mad.
The only way to make this even more perfect is if they can put Chad Kimball and into the woods. The only way they can make this more effective
is Rob. You included it. I'm impressed. Now, that's current events, folks. Someday we're going to listen to this 10 years from now and be like, what happened with Chad Kimball this week? All right, folks. We hope you have a wonderful weekend, and we will see you in the flesh next Saturday. Not this Saturday, but next Saturday for our 1950s trivia. Hope you have a great... we'll talk to you a bump before Thanksgiving, because then we're going to record next week.
Oh, that's right. Yes. All right, everyone. Brush up your 50s knowledge. We can't wait to see you.
Have a great weekend.
Bye.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
You know what, Patrick Flynn?
What, Beth Amon?
I hate this movie.
Love Actually?
Yes.
Me too.
But I also love it.
Me too.
But I hate it.
You know what we should do?
What?
We should get a bunch of people together, split the movie into its 10 storylines, and then figure out this movie one story at a time.
You mean people like Keith Powell and Jill Knox Powell from NBC's Connecting?
Keith, why don't you show us what porn-watching face is?
And Washington Post columnist Alexandra Petri?
I don't know. I think every Christmas story is a horror story.
Do you think it would work?
It actually inspired me to plan my funeral.
I dig the brothel angle.
Every time I think about the trailer, I'm like, I was misled.
I love your use of the word shag, by the way.
Can I mix your ashes with glitter?
It's like eight half screenplays just put in a blender.
I am positive I stayed with my ex an extra 6 months because we saw this in the theater.
It will definitely work.
What is Love Actually? Subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you download. All episodes out November 27th.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.